Okay, Erev Tov. Tonight we are going to be talking about a couple of interesting psakim from Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin. He wrote, among other things, he wrote a set, four-volume set of tshuvot called the Shut Bnei Banim. Rav Henkin passed away a few weeks ago. Might even be a month ago now. I'm not even sure. And Rav Henkin as interesting yichus, both up and down and sideways. Perhaps most significantly, he was the grandson of Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, who was a big rav in New York from the generation of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Dad, did you ever meet Rav Henkin?
I didn't meet him. I heard the name.
Yeah. So he was a rabbi in it says of Herzl Henkin, or Yehuda Herzl Henkin was raised in Connecticut, but he grew up in New York. But his grandfather, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, as I said, was a contemporary of Moshe Feinstein, one of the great gedolim of his generation. They were considered contemporaries. This Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin, so he actually went to Yeshiva Flatbush for high school, which is my alma mater. And then eventually became a rabbi, and he it was a rabbi in Beit Sha'an in Eretz Yisrael. He's also famous because of his wife, though. Rabbanit Chana Henkin was the founder and director of Nishmat, and still is. Well, she's always going to be the founder of Nishmat, but she's still the director of Nishmat, which is a major education and halacha organization for women. And finally, his son, Rabbi Eitan Henkin, was an up-and-coming star, big Talmid Chacham, who was murdered in 2015 in a terrorist, basically drive-by shooting. He and his wife were killed in their car, some of you may remember, leaving their kids as orphans to be raised by their grandparents, actually. So Rav Henkin passed away a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago. And I thought we should look at some of his interesting psakim. Shut Bnei Banim is very unique. It covers extensively areas having to do with women's issues, more so than I think any sefer that I've seen before, any sefer of tshuvot. Yeah, I'll make it bigger. Any sefer of tshuvot that I've seen. And from a very unique perspective, you can imagine he went to Yeshiva Flatbush. He has a certain modern mentality, but on the other hand, very source-based. A very careful reader of sources, an open-minded one. So let's take a look. We're going to essentially, I hope, look at two tshuvot tonight. The first one is called Imahot HaRotzot Lavo LeBeit HaKnesset. Okay, it's talking about young mothers who want to be able to come to shul. Now, what could be the problem with young mothers wanting to come to shul? Who could object?
They bring small children who are disruptive.
Exactly. So here, this was written in Tafshin Lamed Zayin, which would make it 40 years ago, a little less than 40 years ago. He writes to the rabbi of another yeshuv. In other words, another rabbi wrote to him, asking him, he says, "Yikarim, you asked me to look at your writings." He said, "Lo baruli, sorry, lo baruli ma shekatav kvodo sheba asher leimahot shechoshkot nafshan lehitpalel." I So this rabbi who wrote to Rav Henkin said that the mothers who desperately want to come to shul, and because of their desire to come to shul and to come into shul, they bring their children, and the children, the small children, bother the rest of the mitpalelim. So this rabbi says it's a mistake. Because this is the whole reason that women are pturot from mitzvot asei shazman grama. Women are pturot, they're not obligated in mitzvot that are time-bound. Okay, this is what the rabbi wrote to Rav Henkin. And he wants to know what Rav Henkin thinks about this argument. So Rav Henkin says, I don't understand. Im kavanato shenashim pturot mitfila sedura shehi mitzvot asei drabanan shazman grama. He says, one possibility of what you mean is that women are obligate, are exempt from mitzvot asei shazman grama, and hence they're exempt from the mitzvah of tefillah itself. And if they're exempt from the mitzvah of tefillah itself, then why are they bothering to come to shul? So he says, Zeino, that's not true. Zeino elo ledat ha-Rambam. Aval Ramban, v'rov rishonim, chayavot b'shmone esrei shacharit mincha, b'zmanehem. Kemosh katvu achronim, borachayim, simen kuf vav. Says, that's only according to the Rambam. But according to Ramban and others, they're absolutely obligated. Now I want to go deeper into this. I want to look at this inside and see what he's talking about. But first, let's finish what he has to say. So there's one possibility of what this rabbi means is that the women are actually pturot from the mitzvah of tefillah itself. In which case, of what value is it for them to come to shul if the kids are going to bother everybody? Okay. But he thinks that that's wrong because they're definitely obligated. Second possibility, kavanato shatara patra otan min mitzvot aseh shemazman grama kedei shetochlena leitasek im ataf. He says, the second possibility of what you mean is that in principle, having nothing to do with tefillah itself, but in principle, the reason why the Torah exempted women from mitzvot aseh shazman grama in general is so that they can deal with the children and be involved with that, in which case, that's what they're supposed to be doing, and they can daven at home. There's no reason for them to come to shul. Even if we accept that they're obligated in tefillah, what they're supposed to be doing is dealing with the children. Okay. This is Rav Henkin's two responses to what this rabbi wrote. Then he gives his own personal point. He says, Kshilatzmi, ani savur, shekevan shenashim hayom yotzot l'chol davar, says, I think that nowadays, anyways, women go out all the time for all kinds of reasons. Halavai should take sana lebet batekneset umakamot shel kedusha. Halavai that if they're going to go out to go to movies or go out to go to the supermarket even or anywhere, halavai that one of the places that they go out should be the shul. Ubekarov imitza shemesh lachlo hasefer bo danti bitziyot haisha. I wrote about this in another place. And then he says, Upam sha'alti et ha-gaon mori zal zecher tzadik levracha. He says, he asked my father, my grandfather, he says. I asked my grandfather, al ma shenimtza b'malchi Yehuda shem melech tzadik holid melech rasha, sheholid melech tzadik, v'chozer chalila. I once asked my grandfather, why is it that in Sefer Malachim you have a king has a bad child, and then that child has a good one, and then that one has a bad king, and that one has a good king. Why does it keep switching? V'heshiv shegam malkota yusham. And my grandfather said, well, there were also queens. Klomar, she'imaot ishpiu l'tov l'ra. It wasn't just that there was a bad king, and then the bad king had a good king, or vice versa. No, it was a bad king who was married, perhaps, to a good queen. And that's the reason why the next king turned out well. And vice versa, maybe you had a good king who was married to a bad queen, and then the next child became a bad king. He says, I think that the women should come to shul, unless the shul itself is a place of sicha b'teila, it's not ra'uy to come to there, but I don't think that's the kind of shul that you have, he says to this rabbi, and therefore, I think you should encourage the women to come. Go a little bit further before we come back to his first point. He ends and he says, "V'im choshkot nafshan lavol lebet haKnesset, azay tzarich lihitiaches laze bekoved rosh." Because if they want to come, we have to take them seriously. Kamo shevatzanu b'chumat hadeshen, chelak apsakim siman kuf lamed bet. You find in the Sefer Chumat Hadeshen. The Chumat Hadeshen is one of my favorite svarim. Rav Yisrael Isserlein is a great late Rishon, who's quoted all over the Ramah, really, not Shulchan Aruch, but all over the Ramah. Almost everything he wrote gets accepted lahalacha. Almost everything. He's one of the most successful poskim in history. And he writes, Afa pi sheminagham hu, he says, what about women who are in the state of Nida? So he says, Hitir l'nashim nidot lavo l'bet haKnesset. Rabbi Saul Yisraelin said it was fine for a woman who's in Nida to come to shul. Bikatav sh'af apishim min ha'gham hu le'asor b'sha'ar yamim mikol makom b'yamim nora'im b'sha'ar zmanim sh'rabot ba'ot l'bet haKnesset yela'in yitzavon nefesh l'hishar b'chutz. He says, and even in places where the minhag of women is not to come to shul when they're in nida. Nevertheless, during the Yamim Noraim, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, for sure they should be allowed to come, because so many people come to shul and it would be very sad for them. It would cause them great pain for them to be stuck outside of shul. And the Ramah paskins this. The Ramah says, "Heatik itzavon gadol, aval amila gadol eina nimtzet b'trumat hadeshet." The Ramah says, "Oh, because it's itzavon gadol." And Rav Henkin says, "It's not even itzavon gadol. The fact that it's even it's a little bit of an itzavon, that's enough of a reason to let them in." And he continues, and he just says, "Lachein ledati ra'ui lesader toranut shmirat atinokot kedei la'afsher le'imahot lavod beknesset." He says, "I think the best thing you can do is you should arrange for babysitting for the children, so that the women can come to shul without having to worry about even taking care of the children, right? You know, what good, what have you done if you allow the woman to come to shul and bring the baby in, but she's always worried that the baby's going to be crying and she has to take it out? No, arrange for babysitting for the children, the small children who can't handle themselves in shul, and that way you get rid of all the problems." Okay, thoughts before we go back to the beginning of the tshuva.
Do you think he was influenced at all by the fact that he went to Yeshiva Flatbush, which is a co-ed yeshiva? Would that have had any influence on him?
I think he was influenced by the fact that he noticed the modern world around him and the way that the women were, there were women CEOs and there were women who were in high tech and there are women doing all kinds of things, and to tell them that they can't go to shul is kind of silly. If the reason that they can't go to shul is because they have to take care of their kids, then you've got a problem.
What's the thing about whether women are obligated or not? I didn't completely understand that. Are they or are they not?
That's good. So if we're going there, then let's go there. I just want to see if there are any other questions before we get to that point. Anything? Any points? Any tarot? Okay, so let's do that. Okay, Barbara, let's jump in. So, the main source over here that we're interested in is the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says, at the beginning of Hilchot Tefillah, the first two Seifim, says, "Kol ha'pturim mikriyat shma, pturim mitfilah. V'kol shechayav bikriyat shma, chayav batfilah." Anybody who's obligated in kriyat shma is obligated in tefillah, and anybody who's patur from kriyat shma is patur from tefillah. Chutz, with one exception, people who are carrying a funeral bier at a funeral, so they're actually turim mitfilah, because it's only midrabanan, and they're involved in other things, but they do have to say kriyat shma, so they should switch it up so that they can actually say kriyat shma. Not our point right now. Now, if all we had was this seif, what would we say about women?
Obligated.
Are women obligated in Kriyat Shema?
No.
Mina Torah? Why yes, why no?
Good question.
Well, I mean, on the yes side, it is a mitzvah. It's an important mitzvah. Mitzvah Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. But on the other hand, what does the Torah say about when we do Kriyat Shema?
It gives us specific times of when Kriyat Shema is acceptable, which makes it Zaman Grama.
B'shach Becha.
Which are...
We have to do it once in the morning and once at night. And there's a Zaman, right? The first Mishnah in Brachot says, Me'matai Korin Kriyat Shema Balayla. So it's clear that it's a mitzvah to say she has Zaman Grama. And in fact, women are pro forma, not obligated in Kriyat Shema. So if all you had was this first seif, the women would be completely pturot mitfilah because they're not obligated in kriyat shema. But the next seif says, nashim v'avadim sh'av ha'bishep pturim mikriyat shema chayavim batfilah. Women are obligated in tfilah even though they're pturot mikriyat shema. Mipnei shehi mitzvat asei she'lo azman grama, because it's not zman grama tfilah. So the Shulchan Aruch says that women are obligated in tefillah, unlike Kriyat Shema, because tefillah is a mitzvah to say she'en asman grama.
How do we say that it's not zman grama when there are specific times delineated for shacharit and specific time for mincha and for ma'ariv and so on?
You tell me. What do you think?
Would that not make it zman grama? Or are you going to say you should be davening all day?
It would definitely make it zman grama if it were that simple. So what do you think? Why is it not zman? Why does the Shulchan Aruch say it's not zman grama? So for that, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Shehi Mitzvata say, says, Kol ze ledata Ramba, Shirak zmanei tfila hem midivrei sofrim. Aval ikar mitzvat tfila hem min haTorah. Shneamar, ulo avdo b'chol levavchem. Eizo avoda hishri b'leiv, aviyomer zot tfila. Eshein lanusach yadu min haTorah. ויכול להתפלל בכל נוסח שירצה, ובכל עת שירצה, ומי שיתפלל פעם אחת ביום או בלילה, יצא גדי חובתו מן התורה. So the Mishnah Berurah says, this is all according to the Rambam, because the Rambam says that it's a mitzvat asei min התורה to engage in tefillah. But he says, of course, shacharit, mincha, and ma'ariv, they're not midoraita. It's true that our tradition tells us that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all three of them, David, Shachar, Mincha, Ma'ariv. But there's no mitzvah in the Torah to David Shacharit in its time, or Mincha in its time, or Ma'ariv in its time. Those were all basically enacted by the rabbis. Similar to the fact that the Lashon, the language of the Tefillah itself, is not Min HaTorah. The language itself, the Nusach, is only midrabanan. And so he says, the Shulchan Aruch, that's the Rambam, because the Rambam will say that it's a mitzvah tasei min haTorah, but it's not zman grama because min haTorah, there's no zman for it. All you have to do is daven once a day. And once you daven once a day, you're yotze, that's it, you're finished. It doesn't matter when you daven. So as long as you daven once a day, you're fine. So it will be a mitzvah tasei she'in zman grama. But then the Ramagan Avram says, the Ramagan Avram, one of the great Achronim, says, Al pis varazu nagu rov hanashim she'ein mitpalalim yudchet bitmidut shachar ve'erev. The Ramagan Avram says, based on this, women don't daven the Amidah every day. Why? V'fishamot miyad baboker samuch l'netila eza v'kasha u'minatara yotam bazo v'afshar shafcha chamem l'chivuyoteh. This is the famous position of the Magen Avraham, who says that women can suffice with merely making a few brachot in the morning. V'shalom al Yisrael, they're done for the day. That's all they have to do. Many rely on this Magen Avraham at the very least to allow for eating after making brachot. But the Mishnah Berurah is not done. The Mishnah Berurah says, Ad kan the Rambam. Aval, Da'at Ramban, Sheikar mitzvah tefillah midivrei sofrim, Shehem anshei kneset gedola shetiknu yurchad brachot al haseidah lehitpalel otan shacharit u'mincha chova v'arvit reshut. So the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, because the Ramban believes that there is no mitzvah min haTorah to daven every single day. Doesn't exist. The Rambam says you have to daven at least once a day. The Ramban says, no, you don't. The only time you ever have to daven is if you're in big trouble. If you're in a foxhole. If you are very sick. That's when you have a mitzvah to turn to Hashem. But not every day. According to the Ramban, the whole thing is only midivrei sofrim. It's only rabbinic. And even though it's a mitzvah asay, to daven at specific times, but it's a mitzvah to say midrabanan. And normally, a mitzvah to say midrabanan, women are pturot from, just like they're pturot from mitzvah to say that are midaraita, that are zman grama, kigon kiddush levana. Says, for example, like kiddush levana, which he considers to be midrabanan, and that women are pturot from it because it's a mitzvah to say shazman grama, even though it's midrabanan. אף על פי כן חייבו אותן בתפילת שחרית ומנחה כמו אנשים. הועיל ותפילה היא בקשת רחמים. Nevertheless, Ramban says that women are obligated specifically in tefillah, even though it's a mitzvah tasei shazman grama midivrei sofrim, because it's bakashat rachamim, and women need rachamim just like men do. Women need to pray and to petition and to beg Hashem for life and everything they need, the same way that men do. So it's not just a mitzvah, but it's also a zchut. It's also a need that we have. And therefore, women are just as obligated as men are. V'chein ikar, ki kach dat rav poskim. And the Mishnah Berurah says, and this is the halakha. The halakha is like Ramban, that it's only divrei sofrim, and women are obligated because it's bakashat rachamim. V'chein ikhriya sefer shagat aryeh, yesh lazhir nashim sheitpalu yudchet. According to this, unlike Rambam, according to Ramban, women are obligated, it would seem, fully to daven three tefillot a day with the Amidah. When the rabbis instituted that men had to daven the Amidah in Shacharit and Mincha, they also instituted that women have to daven Shacharit and Mincha. Menachon gam ken shikablu aleim ol machut shamayim. And Barbara, the right thing is for them also to say Kriyat Shema. Dahainu shiyomu al kopanim Shema Yisrael, at least the first pasuk. So they shouldn't exempt themselves from it. Women should obligate themselves completely in the experience of tefillah. Now I want to pause there in the Mishnah Berurah because the next line that he says, I want to save it for later.
Can I ask you a question here? Talk about lesmach gula l'tefillah. When we talk about the Somach Gula L'Tfilah, I don't think of Shema together with V'yatziv. I think of like Shira Chadasha going together with Shemon Esrei.
Well, the mitzvah of Smichat Gula L'Tfilah is to attach the Shema with its brachot to the Shemon Esrei, the entire thing. So he's saying, and it's really Shema to, it's not Emet V'yatziv, it's the end of Shema. Well, it's all of Shema, which talks about Gula. And to attach that to Shemona Esrei. But yeah, I mean, that's why he says also to do Emet V'yatziv. That's what he says over here.
Okay.
He said, Birchat Emet V'yatziv k'dei lismoch gula l'tfilah. Okay. Now the Aruch HaShulchan has a slightly different take on this. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the Rambam says that the reason that they're obligated is it's a mitzvah tasei shelo zman grama. This really the tefillah have a mitzvah tasei daraita, and it doesn't have a zman kavua. He says, and the rabbis surely did not come to the
plastic hazeh 90 shekel. No, rotzim 90 plastic hazeh.
Came out of nowhere. So, whereas the Mishnah Berurah said that according to the Rambam, the mitzvah asay of tefillah is on women, but the mitzvah to daven three times a day is not necessarily on women, nor is the actual Amidah, because it's only midrabanan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, absolutely, according to the Rambam, it's fully on women, because surely the rabbis, when they said that you have to daven three times a day, they weren't being makel on women. Women already had to daven. They're not going to be makel and say, oh no, now they don't have to daven because we're going to make it a mitzvah taseh shasman grama. We're going to add on a time-based component to it. So now they don't have to. He says, no, surely he's adding on a chiyuv. But he acknowledges that the Ramban has a completely different position where he says that the whole thing is derabanan. Okay, they both end up in the same place. And that place is that women are fully obligated in tefillah per se every single day. Now, Barbara, does that answer your question?
Yes, I see. So you're saying the answer is that women are fully obligated.
Women are just as obligated as men.
Right. Is that the halakha? Is that what's brought down?
That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Chaynikari says that the halakha is that women are obligated for sure in Shacharit and Mincha. We'll get to Maariv soon. They're for sure obligated in Shacharit and Mincha on par with men. Now, there are those that disagreed with the Mishnah Berurah. The Magen Avraham says that that's not true. But if you accept the Mishnah Berurah on the Aruch HaShulchan, which is pretty strong, then that seems to be the full obligation. I won't say that there's nobody to rely on if you want to go a different direction, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan both say. We'll skip this part. That's fine. Okay. Now, here's another tshuva, which we're going to do a bit tzara. We're not going to read through the whole thing. It's long. But Rav Henkin here is dealing with the question of women and arvit. Okay? He says, are women obligated in arvit? A person wrote to him. He sent him a sefer, and in the sefer, the person said that women are not obligated in arvit. In another place, he said that they are. So Rav Henkin says, I want to clear things up. And he says, first of all, you'll notice that in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, V'kol zeh le'inyan shacharit u'mincha. Aval tefilat arvit shehu reshut af b'shachshav kvar kiblu aleihem kol Yisrael l'chova mikol makom anashim lo kiblu aleihem v'ruban ein mitpalelin arvit. Said, everything we've said so far is true for shacharit and mincha because that's for sure a chova both for men and for women. But arvit is a different story. The Gemara says that arvit is a reshut, that it's optional. All right, let's leave that as the word for now. But the Mishnah Berurah says men have accepted upon themselves as an obligation, but as a general rule, women have not. And therefore, it's only obligatory for men, but not for women. That's the minhag. Okay? That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So Rav Henkin says, where did this come from? And he points out, fascinatingly, six different positions in the Rishonim about what it means that Arvit is a Rashut, that it's optional. And I want to just go through them very quickly with you and see what he concludes. And then I'll tell you a little bit of an anecdote. So he says, number one, Shita Rishona. This is Rav Shri Ragon, one of the great Gaonim. So he says, very basic, Arvit is completely optional. If you want to say Arvit, that's wonderful, and you'll get extra points. You get a gold star for saying Arvit. Yesh sachar lemitpalel. But you aren't obligated to say it. And if you miss it, you don't have to make it up because you're not obligated to say it. There's no obligation. That's what the Shiragon says. Second position says, and this is the position of the Bahag, Arvit is optional. However, once you start it, you're in. You're in the game. Once you start the game, you have to finish it and you have to do it right. Meaning, if you start Arvit, for example, and you mess up in the middle, let's say you said Arvit Shel Chol and it was really Arvit Shel Shabbat, or you missed Yalav Yavol on Rosh Chodesh. Well, you missed Yalav Yavol on Rosh Chodesh. You don't actually have to repeat. But let's say you missed Yalav Yavol on the first night of Pesach. Then you have to repeat it. Why? Because once you start the game,
you're in it to win it.
You got to finish it. You're in it to win it. That's the second position.
Can I ask you a question about this? When you say once you start, you have to finish, does that mean once this woman starts Arvit, she has to finish that tefillah? Or does that mean that once she starts saying Arvit, she has to continue Arvit for the rest of her life?
No. The first one. And it's not just for women. He's saying it for men as well. He's saying that in general, in principle, Arvit works like this. You don't have to say it, but once you start saying it, that time, you must finish it and you must do it properly. Okay?
Okay.
The third position, Shita Gimel, this is the position of Rabbeinu Hananel, Rav Haigon, and the Ra'avan. And this is the position that this is the most famous position, that once you start saying it, imnahag lihitpalel, once you've said it several times, you make it into your minhag, now you have to. You didn't have to start making it into your minhag. But once you do, now you're stuck. You have to do it. Im nahag leitpalel arvit b'shar leilot, shavya alei kechova. Once you take it upon yourself, you have to continue. That's the third position.
Right, now, this was the basis of my question, that once you've started saying it, you have to continue this minhag. So my question is, a woman who comes to shul on Friday nights and davens Maariv with us on Friday nights, does that mean she's established a minhag and now she's chayevet to say Maariv forever?
So let's get back to that soon. Okay, I don't want to jump the gun. Let's first deal with the theory, then we'll get back to the practice. So the fourth position, this is the position of the Rashba and the Meiri, at least is one that they quote, and the name of the Gaonim actually, which says that even once, if you daven Maariv once, you're finished. You're in now. If you manage to go your entire life without davening Maariv, you're fine. You're good. But if you daven Maariv even once, that means you know about Maariv. You're in it now. You're stuck. I think this is the most astonishing position. It's so reshut that you don't have to, but once you do, you're stuck and you have to. I think that's quite amazing. That's the fourth position. The fifth position says a totally different flavor. It doesn't relate to whether or not you have to or don't have to. Actually, it implies that you do have to. The fifth position says you always have to daven Maariv. The only way that it's reshut is that if you have something more important to do, that's a chovah, then that pushes off arvit. It's a reshut le'umat chovah. In other words, if it's between arvit and, I don't know, have a good example of what else you might have to do, but something else that you have to do, that you're obligated, then arvit gets pushed off. That's all. As opposed to, let's say, mincha or shacharit, which we take a little more seriously. That's shita chamishit. And the last shita, the sixth one, he has the most to say about the fifth one, by the way. The sixth one says that it's reshut in the sense that the time of arvit is optional. You can dive it a little bit before the right time, a little bit after the right time. It's movable. It's not as rigid as the rest of the tefillot. If you want to dive in arvit before shkia, that's okay. If you want to dive it early, late, it's fine. There's not really, the time itself is not as important. By the way, the basis for that would be that shacharit and mincha are based on korbanot. And arvit is only based on the leftovers. There's not really a time for the leftovers. Anyways, those are the six shitot. And now he comes and he summarizes, and that may be the answers that you're going to find in here. Naval l'sikum binyan tfilat arvit l'nashim. Let's talk about this with regards to women. L'data tosfot v'siyatam tfilat arvit mitzvah ve'ein levatla b'chinam. U'minayin l'chalek ben gavim l'nashim. Says, the fifth position says, arvit is an obligation. There's no difference between men or women. It's an obligation on everybody. Can it be pushed off for other things? Yes, but it's an obligation for everyone. V'chein l'shitat Rashba v'Meiri b'shem Agonim shemi sheitpalel pam achat kibel alav kechovah tamid. U'mi ika yisha shelo itpala arvit pam achat? According to the vision, it says that all you have to do is daven Maariv once. Also, there's no difference between men and women. The moment a man or a woman davens arvit once, they're in it. It doesn't matter whether they're men or women. Fine. Notice he says, there was a distinction made between arvit shel kol shavua lezu shel motzei shabbat v'gabei tefilot nashim. Okay, we don't have to talk about that right now. V'ulam, ish anashim she'enan mitpalot. So what's the deal with the women who don't daven Maariv? Majority of women don't daven Maariv. What's the story? Samchot al shitat Rav Shvira Gaon shetfilat arvit hi reshut b'kol inyan. Rav Shvira Gaon says you never have to daven Maariv. If you want to, you can. V'al bahag. Where the Bahagu says, you never have to daven Maariv, but if you do, then you got to get it right. And Rabbeinu Hananel and the other Da'at Bahag that says that only if you create a minhag of davening Maariv, then you have to continue davening Maariv. That's three out of the six positions. Ukvar Shadaft, Kadapti Shaladat, Arif, Harambam, Shiiswa, Kiblo Aleim, Arbit, Kechova, Yeshlo Mashna, Shim, Lo Kiblo Aleim, Oshnit, Batla, Kabalatan. We could fit the Rambam and the Rif into the third position of the Bahag. L'chein, he says, Shapir Nashim Surod Mitfilat Arvit Kedina de Gemara. Therefore, we can establish that women are, strictly speaking, Pturot from Tfilat Arvit as a chovah. They can daven it if they want, but they don't have to. So, Dad, does that answer your question about Friday nights?
Yes, yes.
It doesn't become a minhag because of Friday nights. You know where the problem begins, though? And here's my anecdote. I'm bringing in Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger and bringing in camp. I asked Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger this question because I once taught this sugya to some girls in summer camp, okay, in Camp Masora. And the girl said, but wait a second. What's the problem? In summer camp, the girls daven with the boys, Shacharit, Mincha, and Arvit. Because after Arvit, the night activity starts. You go to dinner, you daven Maariv, and then you have night activity, or the night activity is before Arvit, depending on the night, whatever it is. But because they're all together, the girls are davening Maariv every single night in camp. So the girls said to me, you know, now what? Now when we go home, aren't we now obligated to daven Maariv? Because we daven Maariv for 2 months. There's no greater minhag than doing something for 2 months. So I went to Rabbi Neuberger. What do you think he said? The rabbi of the camp. What do you think he told me? No. David, one of the Davids. There's, I think, four Davids. David, tell me, what did he say?
Since I already know the answer, I'm not going to butt in.
Good. No, what do you think? Am I breaking up like David Tarecki says, or can you hear me okay? All right, David, you're breaking up. What do you guys say? What did Rabbi do? No, Barbara, you're in trouble. If you daven Maariv more than 3 times in a row, you're finished. That's it. If you go to summer camp, Barbara, you're going to be in trouble.
You know what, this is making me think I'm not going to start doing anything because then it's going to become a minhag. I'm scared to death.
So Rabbi Neuberger told me, he said, no, that's not a minhag. He said, we make the girls daven with the boys. They don't have an option. They don't choose to come to Maariv. We tell them that they have to be at Maariv with the rest of their bunk. That's not a minhag. If you force somebody to do something 3 times or 4 times or for 2 months, that doesn't make them now have to do it all the time. That's forcibly. So he said, don't worry, they don't have to daven Maariv even after camp. But I do know girls. I do know girls. I do know girls that daven Maariv as a minhag, and they've taken upon themselves, and that's it. They now have to do it all the time. And it's a serious matter. Now, they can definitely do Hatarat Nedarim. That is a possibility. Men cannot do Hatarat Nedarim, as far as I know, for Maariv. But a woman who takes upon herself personally to daven Maariv, I think there's an option to do Hatarat Nedarim in order to get out of it. Okay. That was Rav Henkin. Next time we'll do something interesting as well. Shakoach, everybody.